This talk is from the teaching ministry at New Heights Church, Vancouver, Washington, where we seek to bring help, hope, and home to hurting people through Jesus Christ.
I quit, which really essentially is about what it means to repent and what Jesus means by his call to repentance. And so what I've tried to do as we have met together is explain to you a bit of what repentance is really about and make sure that we understand it in true biblical terms. I've certainly challenged you to quit not just sin, which just makes sense, but stupid too, because the Lord's opposed to both of those and they keep us from having the life that God wants us to have. I've tried to point out that so much of what we hang on to is really about the challenge of idolatry, that we don't want to quit because we erect these idols. So we want to cast an image of ourselves. Hear that word image? That's an idolatrous word. That we're more concerned about portraying a picture of who we are than really dealing with who we are. And so for today, I want us to make sure that we just have an opportunity to kind of stand in light, see who we really are, and do so with the aid and help of God. Because I want to end where I began. I began this series by saying to you, here's the first thing to quit. Quit believing that you can change yourself. And it's so important to get that. The self-help section of the bookstore is a waste of your time. If you could have changed yourself by now, you would have. But it is possible for real and substantial change to take place. And that happens when we stand in the light of God and we look at ourselves and we turn to God and say, okay, Lord, I need your help. And so we'll be coming to the communion table here in a little while. And I want to challenge you to pay attention to the passage that we'll be looking at with that thought that I want today to be right in the light and let God's light shine in my life and say, okay, that's really what I'm facing, even though it's not what I wish. I want to challenge you to address that part of yourself where you say, I wish I didn't know this about me. I wish God didn't know this about me. But I want you to have the courage as we come to the communion table to say, it's okay, I can do it. And there are barriers to doing that, and I want you to see those barriers. So for today, I don't want to tell you to quit. I want you to start. I want you to start on the whole business of quitting. So if you look on the inside of the worship folder, you'll find a single sheet that says, start on the path to quitting. And I'll show you what I mean there. There's a portion of scripture, 1 John 1, verse 5 through chapter 2, verse 2. Of course, it wasn't all written in chapters. So it's a helpful passage, and I want you to see it. It's important because John is going to tell us, having walked with the Lord Jesus Christ, he's saying, I want to tell you what I really learned about God by walking with Jesus, the Son of God. But I also want to warn you about how we might miss the advantage of walking with him. So it's right there in front of you. I want you to stand and we'll take a look at it together. 1 John 1, verse 5 through chapter 2, verse 2. John says, having walked with the Lord Jesus, this is the message we have heard from him, that's Jesus, and declare to you, God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. Okay, have a seat if you will, please. This is an incredibly simple little passage. John writes very simple words, but really profound passage. And I'm going to ask you to track with me very carefully. You'll notice as we're reading through, there are all kinds of blanks there, and you may be one of those like, I don't crank the blanks. Today, I want you to break your own rule, okay? Today is the day for you to grab a pen or pencil, if you will, please, and just follow very carefully, because I want to make sure that you see what he's talking about in this passage. So I want you to start on the path to quitting, really. So notice 1 John 1, verse 5. Having walked with the Lord Jesus, he wants to say, this is what Jesus showed me about God. Verse 5, this is the message we've heard from him, from Jesus, and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. In one sense, it seems almost obvious. Yeah, God's light, I mean, he is that which is holy and just and pure. So, of course, there's no darkness in him. But you know and are aware that it's possible to be someone who claims faith in Jesus and still have darkness in your life. So if God is light and there's no darkness in him, how does darkness end up in us? So what's up with that? You see, that's the question. And so in order to get to that, I need to explain to you a key concept that John uses. John is very, very careful with his words. And there is a distinction that John uses and that you and I are aware of between relationship and between fellowship. And we got to keep those separate. We come into relationship with God one way only, by faith in Jesus Christ. There's no other way to come into relationship with God. The Bible says, God has given us eternal life. Listen, and this life is in his Son. Now listen carefully. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. And you may say, well, I'm not very comfortable with that. Well, let me help you. Tough. Okay? When you be sure and get to God and give him a briefing on how to run his universe, okay? Because I'm sure he will be fascinated by your insight. But apart from that, God says we come into relationship with him by faith alone in Jesus Christ. Now, how do we continue in fellowship with him? By walking with God through Jesus Christ. And it's important to understand that we have to maintain fellowship by continually, regularly walking with God through Jesus Christ. So there's a distinction between relationship and fellowship. And you know it because if you've ever gotten sideways with someone in your family, you know it. In other words, brother, sister, mother, father, right? That is, when you're in conflict, are you in relationship? Yep, that's still there. Brother, still brother, sister, still sister. Yep, you're in still relationship. But are you in fellowship? Mm-mm, you're not in fellowship. Okay? And it's very challenging. That's what John wants us to address. He wants us to show these great fellowship destroyers, you see, and he's very concerned about, because they're all tied up with how we respond to the light that God wants to shine into our lives. Now, here's the deal. The Apostle John writes the simplest Greek in the New Testament. When you learn dumb guy Greek, this is the passage that you study. And it's such a gift because the vocabulary is simple and simple forms, and it's really great. And it's only later that you realize this is some of the most profound Bible that's out there, because he uses simple words but expresses very profound thoughts. And one of his tools is repetition and contrast at the same time. So you got your pen, and let's just get you warmed up. Look in verse 6, would you? You see those first three words in verse 6? If we claim, would you circle those? If we claim to have a fellowship with him, you see that? If we claim, just circle that. And then notice down, go down to verse 8, and you'll notice the first three words there. If we claim, do you see that? Circle them. So he's repeated it, but he has contrast. If we claim to have fellowship with him, if we claim to be without sin. And then notice now verse 10, see it again? If we claim. And again, repetition, but contrast. If we claim we have not sinned. And so there's a kind of a progression that's involved here. And what John is looking at is what we say about our relationship to the light and what it reveals about us and what it means in terms of our true fellowship with God. So he's going to caution us that we have to be very careful about the light. And so I'm going to take you through, just by way of preview, and show you kind of that progression. So you've already circled in verse 6, the if we claim. Do you see that? So look just above it, and just fill in that blank for me so you can see it there. Verse, letter A there, it'll say, quit neglecting the light God gives you. Quit neglecting the light God gives you. And I'll show you as we go through the passage. And then, if you go there above verse 8, you'll see that letter B, quit deflecting the light God gives you. You see that? And then above verse 10, you can fill in this blank there. Quit rejecting the light God gives you. And again, there's a progression of neglecting, deflecting, and finally rejecting. And John wants us in the process to see ourselves. He wants us to spot these fellowship breakers, and he wants us to turn around. He wants us to repent, you see, in the most important sense. So now you've already filled in that blank there of letter A, and quit neglecting the light God gives you, and you've already circled if we claim. So let's look at verse 6 in just a little more detail, okay? He says, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, which, you know, we have to say this is the common condition of many conditions. This has been the common condition for not a few of us, which is just the contradictory Christian life. You claim a relationship with Jesus, and yet you're not demonstrating that you have fellowship with him. He says here that, you know, you walk in darkness. You aren't letting God shine his light into your life. Now, you have to be careful. Some people think walking in darkness is the same as sinning. No. You've got the cause-effect backwards there. We sin because we walk in darkness. You understand? When we move away from God who is in the light, we invariably are going to end up bumping a lot of stuff. And that's the problem. That's where the sin shows up. So when you walk in darkness, you end up in trouble. Think of it in the physical world. If you are in the pure dark, you're going to bump into stuff, right? So in fact, you can learn this principle in the physical world for yourself. Just do it dramatically. When you go home, just try this technique. Try driving in darkness, okay? Just get yourself up on the road and close your eyes and see how that works out for the rest of the trip, okay? Because don't worry, the rest of the trip won't be long, so you don't have to worry about that. You know, just close your eyes and, you know, you won't have to try to hit things. They will come to you, trust me, okay? So when you walk in darkness, then the sin thing comes. So what's the outcome, you see, of living like this, of saying, oh, yeah, I'm in fellowship with him, and yet I walk in darkness. Notice the outcome. Look at the rest of verse 6. If we claim to have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not live by the truth. We lie. We fake it. We say, oh, yeah, I can see, and we can't see. And why? Because we don't want to admit our need. We don't want to admit our weakness or our failures. And we get defensive. You know, people say, look out, I'm not going to hit anything as we're swerving down the road. Okay? We're in denial. That was not me hitting them. That was them hitting me. Okay? That's what we do. He says here, we don't live by the truth. Well, what's the solution for that? Well, driving, the solution would be simple. Open your eyes, right? So that's why I want you to fill in that blank there. If you have that blank there above verse 7, start committing to stay in the light. Start committing to stay in the light. Get there as quick as you can. And notice what he says here in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, oh, there it is, open your eyes. Just see things the way they really are. You can deal with them. You can stop hiding. Now listen to me carefully before we get to the communion table. There is no issue of your life that you can't look at in the light if you know that you have Jesus standing by your side. And I promise you, from this passage and the larger portions of Scripture, there's no way that Jesus is going to walk away from you. This is the day to say, I'm going to look at it, even though I wish I didn't have to admit it. This is the day to say, I'm not going to deny it or defend it anymore. I'm going to say, I've got to look at this. Okay, how do we open our eyes? How is it that God helps us see? I'll give you three sources that are important. The Word of God, critically important, because that's how we listen to God and understand ourselves better. The Spirit of God, that's why we pray, because we want to say, Lord, open my eyes. Let me see myself the way I really am. And thirdly, the people of God, because when you're together with the people of God, they form a kind of a mirror, and it shines back to you when you get to see yourself as you really are. These are the tools that God gives us to help us see ourselves more clearly. Now, look what happens when we open our eyes like this. So the rest of verse 7, right? If we walk in the light, he's in the light. Notice we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So when we come back to the light, we end up being rightly connected with one another. We have fellowship, and we're relieved from faking. We can be purified. We can be who we really are. Now, If we don't take this step, that's the thing. We run the danger of denying our need for the light. And so that's why I had you fill in that letter B, quit deflecting the light that God gives you. Notice what it says here in verse 8. If we claim to be without sin. Okay, here again, before I go too far, let me make a very important distinction. John is so careful with his words, simple words, but so careful with them. He makes a distinction between sin, singular, and sins, plural. Okay, that's important. Sin, that's the core problem. Sins, that's the current issue. Sin, singular, that's the root. Sins, that's the fruit. And sometimes we're overabundance in the fruit, huh? Okay, and so what John is challenging us to do is to admit the core problem, because if we will not admit the core problem, we're always going to refuse to address whatever the current issue is. There is that need to say, I'm in darkness. I can't see. You get it? And if you don't do that, then all you're thrashing around, you're never going to be willing to address that. The first time I went to Papua, Indonesia to visit with our friends of Mission Aviation Fellowship, I ended up back in a mission home back in the jungle. I had arrived late. I've been traveling just nonstop all the way. I arrived quite late, and I had stopped and spent some time with some other people. So I came in. It was dark. The pilot had already gone to bed. And, you don't want to wake the pilot up because he's up at O-dark 30. So my safety tomorrow depends upon his sleep now, right? But not only that, mama's there. Little baby is there. And it's a great welcome that she gives me very quietly whispering so that her husband doesn't wake up. But they need to be in bed. But I still need to shower because I've gone 55 hours of travel nonstop. So for their health and safety, I need to shower, right? So, but I got to shower quietly, whatever that means. And I shower, I'm getting dressed. I'm standing there, got my clothes on. I'm putting my shirt on. I'm still barefoot. And I put the shirt on. This house is not made to code. Do you understand? And so as I put my shirt on, I hit the neon light that's over my head. One of those long neon tubes. And I knock it down and it's instantly dark, dark, dark. And then the tube comes down. Have you ever broken one of those neon tubes? It sounds like a gun going off, right? Like that. And suddenly mom's awake, dad's awake, baby's awake. And I'm standing in the dark with broken glass all around me, barefoot. And so here comes the knock. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. I am not fine. I'm in the dark. Are you sure you're okay? If I could just get another one of those neon bulbs. That was our last neon bulb. Oh, I'm really sorry. I hope you can get another one. Oh, we'll get one when we're on furlough. When you're on furlough? When do you go on furlough? We just came back from furlough. Are you sure you're okay? Oh, I'm fine. I am not fine. I'm in the dark. I'm stepping on broken glass. And I've condemned people to darkness for the next 4 years. I'm not fine. I'm stupid. That's what I am. Okay, do you get that? I want you to see that, because he says here in this passage, if we claim to be without sin, you see, notice what it says here in the rest of verse 8, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. It doesn't say we deceive others. They're not fooled. We deceive ourselves. They see our sins. They see the glass in our foot. You know, they see us hobbling around because we've been so stupid. We're walking around in the dark. Do you get that? Because they see our sins, they're convinced of our sin. Other people are not fooled by our minimizations and distortions and excuses. You know, when we say, "Oh yeah, I've just been tired." Oh, so you don't get it. You raged at your family. They see that. They see our sins. We say, "Well, you know, I've got a problem." No, you got a DUI. They see our sins. Do you understand? "Well, I've been facing some difficulties lately." No, actually, you stole from your company and you got caught and you got fired. They see our sins. We can keep shouting, "I'm vine." They're not going to be fooled. We only deceive ourselves. So what's the solution for this? It's one sense, it's so obvious. Just tell the truth. Notice that, fill in the blank there. Start confessing you have stumbled. If you're wandering around the dark, you're going to stumble. Start confessing that you have stumbled. And notice what it says in verse 9. If we confess our sins. Confessing is just saying the same thing that God says. Yes, I'm in the dark and stumbling into things and people. That's what it is. I've just been, you know, I got myself in a bad place. That's what we do. By the way, don't wait till communion to do your confessing. You can say what God says about it as soon as you see it, that you're in that spot. I try to do it daily, and some days that's not nearly often enough, okay? So that's the whole point. So you just say, "Lord, I'm seeing my sins, and it's clear evidence of my sin. I get it." You don't say, "And Lord, if I have done anything amiss," oh, shut up, okay? Yes, "Lord, I've messed up," right? And look what happens when we admit that we're walking into everybody. Look, if we confess our sins, look at the rest of verse 9. "He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." So if we'll just walk in the light and be honest about what we see, God can deal with anything that the light reveals. But we just have to say, "Oh, Lord, look at it." We have to say what he says. "I know it's a mess." Okay? Now, if we don't take this step, we run a greater danger of trying to live without the light. And that's why I gave you that letter C. Quit rejecting the light that God gives you. Look at it in verse 10 now. "If we claim we have not sinned." What? Yeah, this is where we say, "Look, I don't need light. You're the one that needs light. You don't understand what's going on here." See? That's when we, you know, we'll try to blame our circumstance, you know. "Well, I'm just tired." Oh, so that's why you think you can be abusive, right? You know, "Well, my job's on the line. You don't understand." Oh, that's why you falsify reports. "Well, I have a lot of homework." Oh, so that's why you're cheating. You see? We blame our circumstance, but it doesn't address our reality. Or we blame our personality. You know, we say, well, "I'm just someone who's willing to take a stand." No, you're just being inconsiderate. "Well, I'm honest." No, you're a jerk, right? So what we have to do is just be forthright. And notice what the Apostle John says. Look at who you are contradicting if you make this claim that you have not sinned. Look at the rest of verse 10 here. "If we claim we have not sinned, we make him," that's God, "we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives." So when we won't take advantage of the help that God offers, then we end up forfeiting the forgiveness that he offers, the insight that we need, the power to change, all that goes away because we say, "God, you really don't get it." But it doesn't have to be like that. And that's what I want you to see. So fill in that last little blank there, just above 1 John 2. Start coming to the one who will save. Start coming to the one who will save. It's unfortunate there's a chapter break here. John did not write in chapters, okay? So this is just the next scenario. Notice what he says, verse 1. "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin." That's the goal, to always seek the light, to always respond to what we see. But notice, if anyone does sin. Oh, yeah. Well, it's good that he included that possibility, huh? I mean, I wish we could say, "Oh, yeah, that's right. I get the goal, not sin. Got that one down." No, but if anyone does sin, how kind of him to say it that way. Not, he could have said, "When anyone does sin," right? He could have skipped anyone and said, "When you sin." But in his mercy, he just says, "If anyone does sin." Well, what you can do if you sin, you can rush to your own defense and you can start justifying, excusing, and denying and minimizing. But you have God on the other side saying, "No, I'm still light and I live in the light and I know what you did." And you don't want to be opposing God on the other side because he's always going to win a conviction. You understand? So what you could do is let Jesus rush to your defense. Look at the rest of verse 1. Okay, if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Ah, beautiful word. One who speaks to the Father in our defense. That's that Greek word parakletos is the word for the defense attorney. That you and I, when we mess up, that Jesus will step up and he'll be our defense attorney. And all we have to do is say, okay, Lord, I hate to have to say it, but I've wandered off in the darkness and I've stumbled and I'm lost and I need help. And Jesus says, I'll take your case. And he's never lost the case. And he's not going to lose yours either. And I want you to see the case that Jesus will present if you just call on him. Look in verse 2. He, Jesus, is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. Jesus will say, stepping up on your defense, he will say, well, Lord, you know, I came to this dark world. That was our plan. And I came looking for those who have stumbled in the darkness. And I'm seeking those who will admit that they're lost. And I died for them. I know about their sins. I died for their sin. I attacked the root. And the Father will say, oh, yeah, case dismissed. It's a beautiful thing. When you say, Jesus, I need help, he'll step up and defend you. And the Father will say, case dismissed. And you may say, yeah, that may be true for some people. No, you didn't read the rest of it. Not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. If you're in this world, and it appears that you are, and if you've sinned, and I have faith that you have, Jesus died for your sins too. What you have to do is claim that reality. And so before I come to the communion table, let's make sure, even though I've been talking about fellowship, let's just make sure that you are in relationship. Because the way we come into relationship with God is by faith alone in Jesus Christ. God has brought eternal life into this world, and that life is in his Son. Here it is. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. If you've never come to that place in your life in which you said, okay, Jesus, I put my full and final trust in you, then you got to do that, or else you're not in relationship. You got to start there. We begin this life of faith by faith in Jesus Christ alone. If you've never come to that place in which you say, Jesus, I don't get it all, but I get it that you died for my sin, paid the penalty for my sins, that you've addressed it, and I'm going to put my full trust in you, now would be the time to do that. You do that now, then this meal is for you. You don't have to be perfect to come to this meal. In fact, this meal is for people who are far less than perfect, but who are coming in faith. But you got to start now. And for the rest of us, this is our chance to come and say, okay, Lord, I want to step into the light, and whatever you're revealing about me, I'm not going to run into the darkness. I'm going to stay here in the light, and I'm going to seek your help. I'm going to say what you say. I'm going to confess, and I'm going to ask you to do a work in my heart. Okay? So I'm going to take a second and pray, and if you're one of those people who's helping to serve, you can kind of walk to where you'll be serving. I won't tell anybody you walked while I'm praying, and but you just wait, and we'll all start together in a moment. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, how we just thank you for your stunning patience with us. It's just an incredible thing. It's not just that we have wandered away in darkness. You know too well, sometimes we have run to the darkness. And still in your mercy, you seek us. There are times, many times, Lord, when we maintain that we're faithful to you. And the truth is, we've been focused on ourselves. And still in your great mercy, you keep seeking for us. So we want to thank you for that. We want to thank you for your abundant patience, how we bless you for it. We pray as we approach this table that you will renew and restore our souls and give us the courage to stand in the light, regardless of what it reveals, believing that you yourself will never step away. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Copyright Matt Hannon. Contact us at info@newheights.org.